our government, and I'm glad we don't have to depend on our nation, but we depend on Jesus Christ. Boy, on that cleared a lot of things for us. Man alive, you can know that Jesus Christ is in control. John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, the family of God. Now, you know what? That's one thing they can't take away from. If you're in the family of God, they can't nobody take you out of the family of God. And old Satan, he may keep camped on somebody's porch, but he can't come in there and take you away from God's family. He can't get you can't get your kids out of God's family. If they in God's family or you in either one of them. So we want to just thank the Lord, you know. There was an old song that we used to sing, "Thank the Lord I'm in the family of God," something like that. How'd it go? I don't know what that was. Well, I want to say, thank the Lord that I'm in the family of God tonight. That ought to be a praise. I hope everybody's saved tonight. I know some people that's not saved, but I hope everybody here is saved. If you're not, you know the Lord will speak to you, and you can before you leave here. But salvation, how great it is, and these verses of Scripture 1 through 5, you know, salvation gives examples several ways in the Bible. He talks about salvation. He talks about salvation is walking in a room through a door, and Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So that's been walking in the door of salvation of Jesus Christ. And also example, you know, about a drinking of water. Whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely, you like taking a drink of water, that's the life of Jesus Christ. Take it freely. But also it's like a banquet, you know, like a homecoming that we have out here, a great banquet. And man prepared a banquet and says, "Come, for all things are now ready." That's salvation. You know, salvation is a feast. A lot of people think it's a funeral, but it's a feast. All things are now ready. It's also compared to a gift. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift that God has given you and me, the gift of God's eternal life, how? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But I guess the best way the Bible explains that we can all understand compares salvation to a birth. Have everybody been born one time in here? Have everybody been physically born? You have, hadn't you? Well, that's the reason we can understand it. And this is an example that we can understand this because we know that we was born physically. And as I read these verses of Scripture, as compared to a birth, it says in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we may know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we will keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let us pray. Father, again, we just want to thank you and praise you for the power of the Word of God, the power of the living Word of God, we should say, Father, because we know it's alive and well and living. And Father, there's a lot of different religions of the world that has their own canopy of the, they call it a Bible, but we know, Lord, that all they have is a dead book. But what we have is a live book because you are alive, Father. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for the energy that we have there tonight, Lord, in Christ Jesus. We might praise you with everything we have in our body because what you have done for us, what you are doing in us and through us this hour and going to. So we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ this hour, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. All of us been born physically. And you know what Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus in Matthew 11:11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman," that means every one of us, "there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Because, you see, you got to be born the first time, John, but you're the greatest one been born of a woman, it said, but then you got to be born again. So we just want to thank the Lord for using these examples, letting us see that our spiritual birth is the same way. But it says born of woman to old John, but it says born of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking there to old Nicodemus. You got to be born again. You was born the first time physically, but you got to be born again. Back up there in verse 1 that I just read in chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, whosoever believeth that God is the Christ is born of God. See, born of God. Born of a woman. Now this is born of God. Very important. Call that salvation, whether you realize or not, that you have been born of God. He's already said this in his gospel in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, old man John. And he says there in verses 11 and 12, or 12 at least, it says, or 11, where I'm at now on my scriptures, 12. All right, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were both not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, that you could be born of God. You see, if you're saved tonight, you're born of God. John says that in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 12 and 13, where it's at. Nicodemus was a preacher. Nicodemus was a theologian. He was a great teacher, a great ruler. But Jesus said, you must. That means you must be born again. Born again, born from above, born of God. Now, see, the issue is not, are you a Baptist? Are you a Methodist? Are you some other denomination? It's not even, are you a church member? It's not even, have you been baptized? But are you born of God? Have you been born again? See, a lot of people get this all messed up. They think they're saved. You say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. It's hard to find somebody that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Anybody you might ask. I don't know if they ain't been to church in 10 years. You ask somebody they believe in. Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. But you see, and a lot of people say, well, they say because they say they believe in Jesus Christ. But you know, it takes more than whispering it from your mouth, because the Bible says you got to believe it in your heart. Then confess it with your mouth. A lot of people think they're going to heaven. A lot of people think they're going to heaven. Because they have confessed it with their mouth. Well, so-and-so said that, hey, I'm glad whenever they come down the aisle here and they said they believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, but it takes different. It's something different than the mouth and the heart. And then in these verses of scriptures, John's going to show us the characteristics. If it's come from the heart and confessed with the mouth, you're going to see some evidence. You're going to see some characteristics of our natural birth and also our spiritual birth. They're going to also be some characteristics, some identifying marks about our birth. Anybody heard about a birthmark? You got any birthmarks for your physical birth? A lot of people have birthmarks of their physical birth. Well, you have some birthmarks of your spiritual birth. Every one of us. Same thing. And you ever heard anybody say in a physical birth, boy, he's a spitting image of his daddy. You know, she's a spitting image of her mother. Or you see, but you can tell everyone in that family, about 8 or 10 in that family, but I tell you, you can tell everyone in that family. All of them look alike. Y'all know a family like I'm talking about? You can tell what family they come from. There might be a bunch of them in there, but they all got those characteristics. They'd all kind of have that favor there, every one of them. There's some characteristics. They come from that family. There's a lot of time you can say that. But, okay, you got some characteristics today. Everybody that's born again has some characteristics, and they're in the family of God. These characteristics. One of them is here tonight. Did y'all know that? Y'all showing some spiritual characteristics for being here tonight. Yeah, you are. If you're saved, you're going to want to be with God's people. Now, these characteristics, one thing you see, you love God's children. That's one of the characteristics. Love God's children. That's one of the characteristics. In verse 1 again, it says, you know, whosoever believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, if you love the Heavenly Father, you're going to also love the children of the Father. You're going to also love the children of the Father. A lot of people don't do that. They saved. Now, it's just a natural thing that we have, you know, to love our earthly father, you know. I mean, I loved my father. That's just kind of natural. Wouldn't you think it's just kind of natural to you for you love the father? I can't imagine someone that's come up into a household that don't love their physical father. You know, I can't imagine, because I had a loving father. And I can't imagine, I know someone says, I hate him, I hate my father, I hate him. But, you know, I can't understand how anybody could come up in a family and hate their physical father. Because that's, is it natural that we're supposed to love our father? Isn't that just natural? I mean, that just natural as it can be. That's the way God made it. It's just natural. We love our natural father. Well, the same way is, it's just, if you're saved, it's the same way that you just love your divine father, your heavenly father. That's just natural if you say to love the heavenly father. And not only that, it's natural for you to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. The more we know about the heavenly father, and the more we understand about him, I'm going to tell you what he does for us and doing for us and will do for us, the more that we love him. Have you found that to be true? The more that you love, he says, grow in grace and knowledge. You ever read that scripture? Well, this is one of the reasons. The more that you know about God, the more that you know about Jesus Christ, the more that you will love him. The more that you will love him. Remember, I told you that illustration Sunday about that diamond, 186-carat diamond that the young man gave Queen Victoria when he was a young man. Y'all remember me telling y'all that? Y'all done forgot it. I about have. Anyway, you know, he gave it to her when he was a young lad, a young prince to Queen Victoria. And then when he got older, he wanted to hold it. He wanted to see it. He wanted to hold it. So he went to the palace and he asked him about seeing it. They got armed guards around. Really, they got armed guards around. They ain't no telling how much that thing is worth nowadays, you know. But they said, well, he give it to her. So we got to let him hold it, you know. And they don't usually let people do that. So they let him hold it, you know. And remember, I tell you, when he held it a while, and he told the queen that was sitting there, he says, you know, I remember giving this to you whenever I was a young lad. And I didn't have the slightest idea of what the value, what it was worth. And he says, I'm older now, and I know more about what this thing here is worth. And then, you know, he got down on his knees, and he says, now I want to give it back to you, man, I know what it's worth, one more time. And I said, boy, that just hits me. I can't get out of my mind. Because I don't know how old you was whenever you were saved. All of us was different ages. I didn't know nothing about salvation, I told y'all Sunday. I didn't know a thing in the world. I knew that I was a lost sinner, doomed, damned on my way to hell. There's no way in the world that I could do anything about it. I was going to hell. But the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God began to work on my heart and let me know that, hey, there's a way out of this. And all you got to do is just accept Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and ask him to come in your heart and save you, and he will. And he did. And then I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I never read the Bible. I didn't know there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Bible. Still don't know much. But I know one thing. The more that I've learned about my Heavenly Father, and the more that I have grown, the more that I've loved him, and the more that I appreciate it, and what I told you Sunday, you know what I'd like to do one more time, God. I didn't understand salvation, what it was, and I give you my life, because you see, God gave you a soul. And the greatest value that anybody on the face of this earth had is their soul. And you know what amazing that God the Father done? He gave you keeping of that soul, said, hey, here's yours now. What you gonna do with it? He gave you a responsibility of your soul, and that soul is gonna be somewhere for all eternity. Here it is. What you going to do with it? Jesus Christ comes to the cross of Calvary. This ain't in my notes. Jesus Christ comes to the cross of Calvary and he died. Rose again. Went back to Heavenly Father. Sent the Spirit of God back to be with us, to comfort us. And then he gave us a way that we might present our soul. Here's my soul, God. In the safekeeping of the God. And then the Holy Spirit, when I done that, the Holy Spirit sealed me, my soul, to the day of redemption. God, I want to. Don't you want to give it back to God one more time? You was young when you got saved. You didn't know all about it. 40 years ago, 30, 20, whatever it might be, but now you know more because you've grown in the Lord. That's what it's all about, coming to church and learning. Why don't people want to do this and know more about their Lord and their Savior? Because you might say, now I know more. And to think what He's doing for me every day, the breath, think what our Father in heaven is doing for us, and don't we want to just give it back to Him one more time? Because I know more than I ever did before. My Heavenly Father, I tell you, you can't help but love Him more and more when you begin to grow and know more and more about the Lord. You can't help Him but just love Him more than more. But see, our earthly Father, the more we learn about our parents and the more we learn about our earthly Father, you know, the more aware that we understand that they're just human. The more we understand they were just humans, and the more we understand they have failures and they have faults, and we understand as we grow and know more and more about our earthly Father. But our Heavenly Father, the more and more we learn about them, the more divine God gets to us. And more divine He becomes to us. My goodness, what a Heavenly Father. The love of the Father. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. God made you all over again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What He's done for us, all things become new. Well, what are these things? Well, there's some people not very lovable. Then the first thing comes new, you know what? We love the family of God. Now, these are some characteristics, I'm telling you, of the Word of God. If people are saved, they're going to have these characteristics. Psalm 86 and 6 says, God settled a solidarity in the family. Set the solidarity in the family. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellion dwells in dry land. You know what that's saying to us? God set the solidarity into the family, because in our country, in our world, in our United States, our culture that we're living in isolates, and people are very, very lonely. Did y'all know that? Because our culture, they isolates them, because people go to their home now and they have their television, they have their computer, and they stay there all the time with those computers, and they stay there with those television. But you see, they need to belong to somebody. And our culture separates that. And we long to belong to somebody. They say that's one of the reasons these gang members, all of our big cities in our country, all these gang members, it's hard to keep them from being a gang, because they want to belong to somebody, and they want to be needed and feel like they're needed by somebody. And that's the reason they have all these gangs. Well, born again in the family of God, I'm going to tell you, we have our brothers and sisters. We belong to somebody. Did y'all know that? Why in the world can you get people to understand they belong to somebody in the family? You see, you love the Father, and also you love His children. That's the characteristics of being saved, John says. 1 John 3 and 14, I've uncovered this, but it says, we know that we have passed from death into life. This is a very, very important scripture. You ought to understand and pray for somebody, some loved one, family member, whatever, because this is, we know that we have passed from death into life. You know what that means? That we have been saved. We was dead in trespass of sin. Now we have been saved. We have life now. Because, how do they know this? Because, he said, we love the brethren. That's one of the characteristics, knowing that you're saved from death into life, because you love to be around the people of God if you're saved. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. That means he's lost, John says. He's lost. Oh, God, help us today. Help us today. Ask people, if you're saved, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. But, buddy, if it's not from the heart, just out of their mouth, anybody can say a lot of things. 1 John 4:19 also says, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Galatians 4 and 6 says, and because ye are sons of God, have sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, where you might be able to cry, Abba, Father. The Father we're talking about. That song that Robert played and they sung, that old-time religion, make you love everybody, make you love everybody. Did you know that's what Christ done for you? That's why I want to sing that song. Because that old-time religion is when you got saved. It's old because Jesus Christ done it 2,000 years ago. And besides that, you was in the heart of God before the foundation of earth. That's really the old-time religion. But it's been old-time. And you know what makes you love everybody? You know what? I love everybody here. But you know what? I love people that's not here. And I love people that's saved, and I love people that's not saved. But this will make you love everybody. That old-time religion, the Spirit of God that dwells in you will make you love people, want to be around them people. That old-time religion make you love everybody. Thank you, Lord, that we got a church that people loves. That's the first characteristics there. Love God's children, love the Father, and love also the family. But, you know, obey God's commandments. That's the second characteristic of people born again or born of God. Obey God's commandments. In verse 2 and 3 that I'd already read in this chapter 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments. Now, he's not talking about that we don't keep them completely, because you see, it's not talking about perfection, because they don't know us be able to do that. You know, it's not talking about us living 100% by keeping all commandments, because nobody was ever done that but one person. That was Jesus Christ. Man, he's not talking about that. But you see, that word keep, it means basic on two ideas. It means a desire and a delight. Keeping, a desire and a delight. The reason, one of the reasons you might know, and the characteristic that you might know that you are saved, because you have a desire to do what God's called you to do, and desire to keep God's commandments. It didn't say that you keep them all the time. I ask you, every one of you here tonight, do you have a desire to do what God told you to do? Not that you do it all the time, because we all fail, but even after you fail, but you still have a desire to do what God wants you to do. That's one of the great characteristics. Now, in the Old Testament, now, God had a bunch of commandments. God's commandments, you know, was imposed. It was a duty. It was a duty in the Old Commandment. God said, do this and live. That was his commandments. Somebody said they over 613. I don't know. I never counted all them commandments of the Jewish laws. I never counted all of them, but I know it has to be a bunch of them. There's commandments for every area in our life covered in that Old Testament. You know, every corner of a person's life, marital commandments, dress commandments. But wouldn't that be a thing here today, dress commandments? There are food commandments. There are certain things that they could eat and certain things they could not eat, dietary food. And, the medicine, they had different type of medicine they could take. The Sabbath, they had rules and regulations on Sabbath, thing you could do. All type of religion went on and on and on and on and on and on. But every one of these commandments, they was distilled in just two when Jesus Christ come. But before then, Moses put them all together through God on Mount Sinai, and they all was based on these 10 in the Old Testament. When Jesus Christ come, he just consolidated those 10 into two. Love the God with all your heart, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He brought them down into just two. And then it weren't do and live, because see, mankind tried that. They could not live up to the Ten Commandments. The law was a schoolmaster, the Bible says, to lead us to Christ. A lot of time we read that scripture, the schoolmaster, we think about a school teacher, but that's not what it is. It was somebody that get a child by the hand and they'd carry him to the school to be taught. And that one that carried him to the school was called a schoolmaster, to carry that child to be taught. See, that's what the Word of God and the Spirit of God has done for us. He's got us by the hand. He's a comforter, and he leads us to the knowledge of the Word of God that we might be saved. And then we understand more about it. We got the old laws of the Pharisees. Man, I'll tell you, they made it miserable. They tried to keep these laws, and they was miserable people. You know what? They turned religion into drudgery and misery. Jesus Christ come not to do and live. When he come, he says, live and then do. Live and then do. So you got to be born again. You're dead. He says to live, be born again. Receive me as your Savior, and you alive, you live. And then after you live, you're alive, then you can do. You see, they tried to do
up to commandments, and they found out they couldn't do it. God didn't ever intend for mankind to keep the commandments. He knew they couldn't because he knew mankind was so weak. A lot of people understand that. God never gave them to them to keep. He gave them the commandment to show them they couldn't keep them. The commandment was given to mankind to show them they could not live up to the command of God in their own strength. And that's the reason they failed and 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 they failed. And I'll tell you what, they kept on falling because they could not live up to it. God knew it. That's the way he wrote it. But there was, now he comes to the New Testament. Now you see there is a desire to obey. Now it's obey, it's not do, it's obey. And then there's that desire. You know, the joy of doing what God wants you to do. Desire to obey. We got a desire to do it. I don't mean we always do it. Certainly not. But then also, when we do it, there's a delight. The joy in doing what God's called you to do. You know what? God, without a shadow of a doubt, in the word of God, do not forsake the assembling yourself together. And every time that you're a member of whatever church you're a member of, you're to be there when that church is established. And when you'll be there in that church sermons that they're going to come together in the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, it's the joy, it's delight in doing what God has called us to do. It's the joy in coming to church. It's a joy in singing. It's joy in hearing the singing. It's the joy in tithing. It's the joy in teaching. It's the joy in preaching, you know. It's just the joy in doing what God has called me to do. The joy of doing God's word. We misunderstand so many times the commandment of God. You know, people think God takes away all their joy and their freedom whenever they're saved. I would be saved, but I'm afraid if I was to do what God called me to do, I would be take away all my freedom. Psalm says, in them, in the keeping of them, there is great reward. But you know why that we were talking about the Christians a while ago were being attacked? You know why they want God out of everything? They want to do away with the Bible, and you can't put Bibles even over into, you know, in Ware County schools. You know why they're fighting against it so much, our country and our world now, especially our country? Because they say we want to be free. We don't want God's standard. We want to be free, and we want to break these standards. We want to break this direction that God wants to lead us because we want to be free. That's our idea, and that's our thinking. We got to get rid of this. We got to get rid of God because we want to be free. We don't want to obey God. We want to be free. Saved, really, whenever saved, you really have freedom when you submit yourself to God. But they don't understand that. Psalm 119 and 54 says, thy statute have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. Psalm 37 and 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, these commandments that God has told us to do. Now, this day and time, you know what, you can't spank your kids, you can't discipline your kids, you know what, because they got somebody watching you, you have to do something you're not, man, they'll put you in jail for it. But you know what? A father there, and he got a red hot stove there, like old hot stove used to be, and a kid walking around there, and he said, son, you better not touch that stove. That's a command, is it? Now, if the person will hear that today, they say, man, that is a cruel father. He just won't give that boy any freedom whatsoever. He don't love that child, or he wouldn't tell him, don't do this or don't do that. Let him have his freedom. You know, the father loves that child. And he don't want to get burnt. That's reading, give that command for him. Don't touch that stove. They say, well, that's a terrible father. But you know what? God, the same way they say about God, boy, that's terrible. All these commandments in the word of God, that's terrible. But every time God gives you a commandment, thou shalt not, you know what he said? Don't hurt yourself. But then there's commandments that says thou shalt. Then he says help yourself. Now, why is God doing this? Because he loves us. And even though we don't understand, that child probably wouldn't understand about not touching that stove, except after the first time, then he would understand it, wouldn't he? But he says, don't hurt yourself. You see, Jesus Christ, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Once you become to know and love the Father, everything gets a lot easier. Did y'all know that? I read where there's a typist was typing a manuscript from a man, you know, writing his life history and everything. And
the author, and she was typing this, a very difficult task, but trying to take all of his writings and put it together. And they had several interchange with words, and they had several meetings trying to get this biography and the manuscript put together. And they met several times, and you know what? After they got to meeting several times, they got kind of acquainted with one another. And after a while, both of them were single. And after a while, they got to dating one another. Then after a while, they fell in love, and after a while, they got engaged, and after a while, the psalmist didn't have a bit of trouble. She says, I had a bad time with this manuscript, but she has typed this thing out now because she says, I enjoy reading, about the one that she loves. You know, that's the way it is in the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of people don't like to read the Word of God. But it's like that typist. When you fall in love with Jesus, it makes the reading of the Word of God a lot easier, does it not? Man, I used to want to read the Bible. I was lost as a haint and a saint, and I'll tell you what, I was lost. And I was going to read the Bible. I feel a little bit spiritually low, and I want to read that Bible, and I get over in Genesis, and I get who God got, who but God got. And man, I forgot to read it too. You know, I couldn't understand why in the world will all these be gods in here. And by the way, even if you're saved, don't ever start in Genesis. You haven't ever read a Bible. Start in the book of John, the Gospel of John. You know, because if you start the New Testament the same way, you get to Matthew, you got the same begots. Get in the book of John. He starts off as Jesus, a grown man. But anyway, you know, you got the Bible. It's a love book to us. You save God, put the law in your mind. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and 16, also it tells us, this is the covenant which I have made with them after those days, said the Lord. That's after Jesus Christ come, after his old laws come. He said, I put my law into their heart, and in their mind will I write them. You see, where the law is today is in our heart, our mind, that we might understand. See, he put them in our mind, that we might learn and we might understand. But he put them in our heart, that we might love, do what God's called us to do. Desire to love God's children and to obey God's command. I got to hurry in. The third thing is run on by. Sharing God's conquest. We're all in a battle. You know, loving God's family, but we also share in God's conquest. Now, if we move there from that verse of scriptures into warfare. Right now, we're into warfare. Now, if you read this here verse of scripture on now, you find out you don't hear the guns are shooting, the bombs are going off. I'm going to tell you the missiles and all the war, because we're in a war. Now, y'all know we have three enemies. Y'all know we have three enemies. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have the devil. Now, it's very important to know which one of those are attacking you. The Bible will take the cover off of and let you understand. That's really we need to read this, because, you know, each one of those, you have a different way of strategy that you approach these three different enemies. Many we have the three different enemies. Verse 4 it says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's the enemy talking about, the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So whosoever in the family of God overcomes the world. Now we have this conquest, means victory. God's children, you know, shares this victory with Jesus Christ. You know, we share this with you. You know what? We're no match for this world. Did y'all know that? I mean, in our own strength, we are no match to this old world. I'm going to tell you, Adam and Eve found that out in the Garden of Eden. They was no match for this world, no match for Satan. They learned that. But this is the victory that overcome. And you know what? Victory has been won where? 2,000 years ago. I'm going to tell you, it's been won 2,000 years ago. John chapter 10, and it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 16:33 said, these things I have spoken to you, that ye might have peace. And in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 2,000 years ago, when they brought Jesus Christ in front of old Pilate, they said, crucify him, crucify him. They pinched him, pulled out his beard. They smote him with a reed. They made fun. They laughed at him. And then you see what? They made fun of him. And then what they done, they took him out and they just beat him to the inch of his life, the blood running down. And then they took that old cross and put it on his back and make him go up Golgotha's hill. They nailed his hands and nailed his feet to that cross, let him stay there. I thirst, give him nothing to drink. And then you see he died and on that cross, buried in that grave 3 days and three nights. And after that, up from the grave he arose. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. All the world had their guns aimed at Jesus Christ. But you see, he pulled them into that battle. And that battle was won by our Savior. Man, well, if that's true, how come I have all these losses in my life and I'm losing these battles? How come that? You ever lost any battles? If he won the battle, how come I'm losing the battles? Well, maybe because you're trying to fight them yourself. God didn't ever tell us to fight it itself. This world, now remember, I'm only talking about this one enemy, the world, because in verse 4 he says, even our faith. You see, when you walk into a room, and I'm going to tell you it's dark, and my goodness, you stumble over a chair, and I'm going to tell you the couch is in the way, and a table, and you can't find your way around, nothing in there. I mean, you're stumbling and falling all the time. And you finally make it over to the wall, and what you do? You flip that switch. Then you can walk around without falling. You know what that switch is? It's that faith is a switch that we might walk around in this world without falling down all the time. Just our faith, that switch, even our faith. He didn't say we're going to overcome this world with our fighting. He said even our faith. To think, you know what, well, we have to fight, you know, we'll lose every time because in this, in the world, we don't have to fight, it's our faith. The great example is this in the Old Testament. You remember Joshua when they're fixing to cross the river and they're fixing to go and take Jericho? Well, now, Jericho, when they done this, Jericho, there's three enemies. Jericho, it represents the world. And Ai, you know what Ai represents? Ai represents this old fallen flesh we have, and then the Gideonites, the Gideonites, they represent the old devil. Like I say, you got to know who's attacking, what you're attacking, where they at, and the Bible tells us that. You see, because you have to deal different with them. But old Joshua, man, he's getting ready to cross the river, you know, and man, he out there got their sword, they sharpen their swords at night. Old Joshua gets up and he walks around the camp and he says there's an angel of the Lord, but he didn't know it was a man there with a sword drawn. Whose side are you on? He says. And the angel of the Lord says, no. That was kind of strange. What no mean? He means, I'm not on your side, I'm not on their side. I've come in the name of the Lord. And Joshua fell down and he committed himself to him. Incarnation of Jesus Christ, I really believe, but it was the angel of the Lord. And he committed himself to him. And then they crossed that river. They went around that great city. Now, they didn't have the armed forces that they thought they needed. They walked, marched around that city one time. Can you imagine what they thought? Those on the inside, what are they going to do now? They walked around, went back to their tents. Next day, they walked around again. Went back to their tents. Next day, walked around one more time. Went back. The seventh day, they walked around seven times. And they blowed their trumpet. And what happened? By faith, the walls fell down. Was it their fighting? It was their faith. This represents the world that you and I have so much trouble with. And it don't say even our fighting because we'll lose every time. But it says even our faith. Jesus Christ has done it. I won't go into these other enemies because I ain't no one in the world I'd have time. But that's the enemy. Our faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, but thanks be to God that giveth us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, 11 and 30 says, by faith, the wall of Jericho fell down by faith, not by fight, after they had compassed about 7 days. We share the victory in the family. Romans 8 and 37 says, nay, in these things we are more than conquerors, or more have the more of the victory through him that loved us. I'm going to tell you, in the Civil War days, there was a man, he was a veteran. I mean, he was really wounded in the Civil War. And he just marched around, you know, and they released him from the military. He was just, wounded, but he marched around. He was about starved to death. I mean, back then, they weren't nothing. He about starved to death. He just, anywhere he got a mouth of food, he would eat. And, you know, and everywhere he'd go, he'd talk about his friend Abraham Lincoln, your friend Abraham Lincoln. Now, ain't nobody be an old pauper, you know, poor man. He even knew Abraham Lincoln. He said, how do we know that you know Abraham Lincoln? And he said, well, He says, I got this piece of paper I carried out of my pocket. He says, I can't read it, but I seen him sign it. And so he gave this piece of paper to one of the men, and they looked at it. They said, that's a signature, Abraham Lincoln. But not only this, he assigned him an executive federal pension, that he was a very wealthy man, and he didn't even know it. He carried it around with him all the time, and he didn't know how wealthy he was. He was starving to death. But he had it all the time in his possessions, Abraham Lincoln, to give him. But he was losing all the battles of life. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? You know what? This is our pension. This is what God has given us, that we don't have to worry about the battle. Here it is. He has signed this right here with a signature of his son's blood. And all you have to do is just take this and claim the victory. Not over just the world, but over Satan and over our fallen nature flesh that we have. Isn't that nice? Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lord, I went too long tonight. Forgive me, I'm sorry, but we're just going to bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father Jesus, we thank you tonight for this privilege that we have. Lord, as we look around our country and, you know, in individuals' lives, our family, you know, we see so many problems. It seems like it's getting out of hand. And